Chris Mackey joins us in the studio. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Daryl. Hi, Roxy.
Hello, Chris. Now, for those who've been playing along at home for a number of years, they'll know that I've been married a couple of three, four times.
So right.
Anyway.
You've had lots of practice.
Yes,
you'd be really good at it.
I have. So I'm quite interested in our topic today.
Well, this is it. Normally we talk synchronicity, but we are actually talking about... Well, how to have a good marriage, and is there a recipe for it?
Right, and there are a number of tips that can really help us from research, and topical because a lot of people are looking at equal rights for marriage. So if we're looking at marriage, we might as well think, what helps make a good marriage? And I reckon one of the things to keep
in mind...
We're
both taking notes here.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I think the philosopher Kierkegaard had something to tell us when he said something to the effect of, if you marry... you'll regret it. If you don't marry, you'll regret it.
Story okay.
I think that's got a bit of a story to like your marriage, your part, life is partly about compromise.
Yeah.
And long-term relationships are part about compromise. But what we learned a lot from is the research of John and Julie Gottman, two psychologists who looked at research, what helped predict happy marriages or divorce. And these are some of the main do's and don'ts. The main do's, the first thing they said, is a good marriage is based on deep friendship. Because when you have a deep friendship at the core, it helps you connect on a daily basis, it helps you communicate openly, keep up that roughly, you're looking for a 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative comments and gestures. That's pretty high. You've got to keep up the positive ratio a fair bit.
5-to-1?
5-to-1, yep.
Wow.
It means that you, at times of stress, you'll turn toward each other by supporting each other. After conflict, you try and repair a conflict. And it also helps you work together to try and solve solvable problems. Some problems can't be fully solved, but it helps you work together. And then they found the things not to do. One is... watch out for a harsh start up to arguments. Escalates really quickly, tensions run high quickly. What they found is if people are arguing, a couple's arguing, for more than about 3 minutes, it'll only be resolved less than 5% of the time.
So it'll only end in tears.
Basically. So basically, or just not happy, not resolved. So if you've been arguing for more than a few minutes, it's worth bailing and look at an opportunity to come back. But the main patterns that could be killer for marriage is if people get in long-term patterns of one criticising, the other defending, then one partner might start stonewalling more, not looking to talk through things much at all, avoiding conflict or whatever. And then the real killer is contempt. If people show gestures or signs of contempt, that's something to really watch out for because that really harms the relationship. So there's some of the main kind of things.
I can do the cold shoulder thing. That's not nice.
Well, see, I'm working on the principle here that it usually takes my wife more than 3 minutes to respond
just
to an argument.
Explain why you're annoying her.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
You're so in stride.
I'm downhill from the word go.
This is just out of interest. I'm just asking, is it different? Because we're talking about marriage equality, obviously, and everyone should have the right to be married. But does this apply equally for married relationships as it does for, say, de facto relationships?
Basically, it does.
Right.
These are the kind of things around people connecting well, dealing with conflict relatively well, and looking to have that basis in friendship. So when you think of it like that, well, there's a lot that's very similar about same-sex relationships, de facto relationships, and marriage.
Well, in fact, any relationship, really.
Daryl and I.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't look at me like that. 5-2.
It wasn't contempt. I wouldn't call it contempt, though.
No, it wasn't.
It was close. It was,
okay. 5-2-299-939. We are looking for the recipe because these are things
are
that they've
tips?
Found. But there are a lot of other things. And usually people have been married for a little while and are still alive are ones with good ingredients to that recipe. Give us
good
a call.
Good to hear.
5-2-299-939 and let us know what your ingredient to a fabulous marriage is and share it because we're going to write it down. I've got a few things written down here. Chris Mackey is joining us and we're talking about the recipe to a happy marriage. I have to ring my wife.
See what she's cooking.
What are some of the things that we found out, Chris, that do make up a happy marriage?
Well, apart from some of those specific tips earlier, there's some general principles that I find quite profound. One, and this is something I use a bit in marital therapy, often people find it helpful. Joseph Campbell the mythologist and philosopher, described that in a marriage, if there is some level of conflict and compromise, it makes a big difference if each partner looks to sacrifice to the relationship rather than to the other person. So you acknowledge that the relationship is a higher order thing than each partner, and you give to that higher order relationship rather than being diminished by having to give something away to your partner. Give to the relationship, sacrifice to the relationship.
I'm giving this up, Daryl, for the good of our partnership. Good of the catch up, not for you personally, even though you will benefit from this.
Wow. But see, maybe you don't need to explain it that for the greater good. You just say this is for the greater good, not for anyway.
Okay, so again, the relationship stronger and each partner benefits. The other thing that I really like, because I think there's a lot of truth in this. This was something from Esther Perel, a marital therapist, but she described that often in adult life, many of us are going to have several relationships in adult life, sometimes with the same person.
Okay.
So it gets across that notion that we all develop and grow and circumstances change. Children come along, children leave home. There are natural times which will challenge a relationship through some kind of adjustment that's called for.
The Swedish people, they thought that there were their no-fault divorce was based around the fact that there are three stages in your life. Mm. One is prior to having children, and if you can find somebody to enjoy that life, and that might be when you do a bit of travelling, you find out about, you're in your younger years, sort of in your 20s maybe, then there's the period in your life where you have children, your 30s to 40s, and so there's somebody you need for that. And then there's the period after your children go, and you need maybe somebody different for that.
Yeah.
And it's great if that can all be the same person.
Yes.
But often it's not.
And if it is the same person, generally what each partner will have needed to do is recognise your partner as an other. Like, let them develop and grow. Sometimes that could be frustrating that your partner thinks or acts or reacts in a different way from what you'd prefer, but it's their otherness that makes it more of a relationship. And then you learn more along the way as well.
But what about those couples, and we've all met them, who almost start to become images of themselves? Like, they're like twins.
Yes.
They actually start to look alike.
That's why we're wearing the same jumper right now.
But you're losing weight and getting fitter and I'm not.
Well, come damn to the gym.
The wonderful sympathy between you two is just a wonder to watch. It's just fantastic.
Just come and work out. Don't make me there every morning.
You know, they finish each other's sentences.
Yes.
They almost become like an extension of each other.
Like a growing together. And I think often those people will have gone through different stages of adjustment that might have been a challenge along the way. But, I find it's more actually older couples who are in a kind of groove. They know each other so well. There's this expression. It also helps to know each other's love maps, meaning know what makes your partner tick. And so by that stage, often people really have a good grasp and understanding of each other, and they've adapted accordingly, and it helps things be more like poetry in motion for many people.
Poetry in motion. That's what we are, Daryl.
I still like the same jumper, but that's that just narrows it down a little bit. Yeah. Does that mean if we do this for long enough, we're going to start to look like each other?
Oh, my God.
No. Isn't that what happens?
I suppose one thing...
That means I'm going to end up starting to look like your dog, Carbo, because you and him look
And we know it helps sometimes to have. Last time we talked about pets, we heard about the marital therapy dog Ralph that started to bark at either partner if they started started up an argument. That'd be handy. But one final thing I'll say, it also helps if you can find meaning together. And this is where I'll make a mention of synchronicity. A number of people feel that they got together, partly by fate.
Yes.
Sometimes that will be around a remarkable sliding doors moments or synchronicity or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think if people have a feeling that your relationship is meant to be from something like that, I think that's an added bonus.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be there, but anything that gives you shared meaning, that can be really worthwhile.
Yeah.
Problem if you're having a relationship with somebody else. And but anyway.
Yeah, that might be
an
unfortunate coincidence to get caught out. And what happens after that is,
I think in the whole scheme of things, Chris, I'm still wrong at the end of the day. Anyway.
Yeah, as long as you know that, we're all good.
Okay.
And I think what you're saying is, especially if you're a man, let your partner influence you. That's another way of saying that wise comment you just made.
And if my wife's listening... No, never mind. It's too late for that. Chris Mackey, as always, an absolute pleasure to see you. We'll catch you again in a couple of weeks.
Great, Roxy. Bye then.